In 2012, I recorded what I thought was some of my best work with Ask an Atheist, 4 days at Camp Quest. We were again at Camp Quest Northwest last summer, in August of 2013. Again, we interviewed the campers, but rather than reprise our last Camp Quest episode, we let the kids drive. Whatever they wanted to talk about, I recorded. If they wanted to talk to a counselor or to me, that was great. We then put together an episode that kept the interviews thematically cogent, and after we listened to it, we chucked it in the bin and started over. In the pursuit of art, the message was lost. These are children in the freethinking movement in the early 21st century, and in talking about their experiences at camp, we get a glimpse of what that life is like. So here are their conversations, edited only for time.
Brendan.
Kane.
John.
Tell me about who you are and just about yourselves in general.
So I'm John. I'm 15 as of recently. I went to a religiously non-specific private school, and I don't really know much about the school I'm going to religiously, but I do know it is a public school.
Oh yeah, I used to go to a school that took place in a church. Like, not necessarily a religious school, but the school didn't have enough money to buy a building, so I just rented out the church on weekdays.
When did you two become atheists?
At first, I really didn't know what to be until I was about 7 and I read Noah's Ark more in depth, and I realized that for the amount of animals that would have to be on the ark, assuming they just have 2 of normal species, not going into all of the subspecies type of things, you'd still need to pack extra cattle / pigs for pork, you'd still need to have room to grow crops, you need living spaces, and so all in all, it would be way too small.
There's not really a specific date for me, but I remember one of the large influences on my becoming an atheist was my mother had a copy of the Bible that she would highlight discrepancies in, and so I would look at that and just be astonished at how much green and yellow and blue there was on each page.
What kind of people do you live around? Like, what kind of people and who? What do you think about them?
I live in a suburban area of Oregon near Portland, and even though Oregon by itself is actually higher up on the amount of atheist to Christian ratio, like there's a lot more atheists than a lot of other states, I live in pretty much the Bible Belt of the state. And so meanwhile, while you're looking around, you'll see about 5 Jesus fish, and then there's the atheist fish on our car, so.
Yeah, I don't really interact with people in my community that much, like my neighborhood, so I'm not really sure about the religious breakdown of it. I know that we haven't been kicked out or anything
for
atheism, so it's not horribly off-kilter.
Where do you two go to school, or if you are switching over to schools, where did you go to school, and what's it is or was it like there?
Well, I'm going to high school, but before, as I mentioned, I went to the school and the church, and overall, there was, I think I may have been the only atheist kid in my grade, if not the only atheist kid in the whole middle school, and so whenever religion came up, I always didn't say, like, oh yeah, I'm an atheist, because I was already bullied, and I didn't want to add another ring to the target on my back, so I always said, I'm something that not very many other people are.
The school that I went to was not religiously specific, like, you could be pretty much any religion there, and I think most of the people were atheists there. There were a few others, and it usually worked out. There were a couple times when it got awkward, when, like, a report would involve religion, but that wasn't very often.
What, overall, is it like to just be in a country that is mainly Christians?
Oh, overall, it ranges from, oh my god, I want to get out of here as fast as possible, to I'd rather stay, because to be honest, I'm the type of person to judge by 1 or 2, no matter how hard I deny that, I kind of am. So whenever I see a report about the Christians doing something really stupid, I always just sort of sigh in my head.
It's not that much of a problem for me. I kind of not keep quiet, but I don't really bring up my atheism a lot, and it hasn't really been a large issue for me, religion and being a minority.
How do you feel, and how is it like going to this camp, Camp Quest?
It's a good camp. I definitely like it a lot.
I don't know whether I say it's better or worse than in my neighborhood, because to be honest, having smarter kid means that I've kind of noticed that some of the kids here are kind of know-it-alls, but that really only applies to the younger kids. But it's nice to actually be able to talk about the fact that I'm an atheist openly without the fear of being mocked.
Yep, I can definitely understand that. What are like the main things that happen with the people that you befriend? Like, what are the main factors that make you befriend them?
The school that I came from, they call it seedling through 8th grade, and basically seedling is babysitting, kind of. Not babysitting, but like you bring your very small kids there and they'll take care of them. And so you get some, and it just becomes a very closely knit, like, web of friends. And basically if someone's in the grade, in your grade or above or below them, there's a very high likelihood that you'll befriend them. So some of my friends are the people who are not atheists like me, but I've just known them for so long that it's not that big of a problem. We can just come to an understanding whenever it comes up.
Of course, as I said before, I was like one or two atheist kids in my entire school. So usually I actually looked for people who mainly like just like a normal kid. I look look for people who are funny, they're nice, and most of the time after we've hung out for 2 or 3 months, I told them I'm an atheist, and the reactions range from, oh my god, you're an atheist, to, well, okay, so I really don't have much experience.
Brendan, I understand that you went to a school that was in a church. Could you explain more in detail, like, what that was like, just, oh, that's just like being in a church pretty much every day?
Pretty much at the day we started with, like, sort of car line, which is sort of like where all the kids would go before going to their classes, which would take place in the sanctuary. So about 98% of the year, we'd have a giant cross in front of our faces with little God quotes on the side. And while some prayed during that time, I was just sat there like doop doop doop. And when I walked down the halls, there were, of course, the church events, the praise God, and all that sort of stuff. And I was able to push that aside. But my days ranged from awkward to like just another normal day at school.
It sounds like you had a pretty normal school situation other than the whole church thing. What is the religious situation in your guys' families? Like, how do they, like, react to you being atheists? What, like, religions are kind of in your family?
My parents are atheists, and one of my grandmas, she's really Catholic. When my mom told my grandma that she was an atheist, she actually stopped talking to us for a few months and then just kind of had to learn to deal with it.
My immediate family, so myself, my mother, and father, we're all atheists, and my mom is more skeptical than myself or my dad. She'll approach a claim with more openly than we will. And then I don't really interact with either of her parents. But on my dad's side, I know that both my grandma and grandpa are slightly Christian, but they're very welcoming. Like, they don't give me any hassle about being atheist at all.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that because I have plenty of family members who are religious, but they don't really bother me about me being an atheist. So considering that you guys are atheists and the situation online for atheists can be very cruel, what is it like for you being online?
Well, I don't really do much online very much anymore, so that would all have to go to John for this one.
I myself am fairly offline. I have, well, of course, as a teenager, of course, I have an email account, but I don't really check it that much. I think I have a Facebook, but I'm really not sure. For my mom, it's a bit different. There's this thing that she's been telling us about recently. I'm not sure of all the details, but it's called a block bot on Twitter that people can subscribe to, and it'll block people automatically for them if the creator of it disapproves of them. And my mom is on the level 2 of 3 list, so extra bad. And I think this is mainly relating to her skepticism, but I'm not sure.
And something else I'd like to add, my mom goes to this site called The Friendly Atheist. Have either of you ever heard of it?
No, but I think I will end up going to that.
Yeah, it has like a lot of news that can pertain to atheists, like something having to do with religion, atheists being persecuted in schools. I'm said religion being persecuted in schools, but yeah, it's a fun site.
What do your friends think of you for being atheist? Just overall, how do they think of you?
Well, I have like one friend, he's Mormon, and he really doesn't care. He just sees me as a cool guy.
Well, like I was saying, at my old school, it's a very friendly scenario, and so it really hasn't come up that much, my atheism, and so I think it's turned out pretty well.
Thank you, John and Brendan.
Running here, 5, fat, fidgeting, feline, 6, slimy salamander, selling salt and Siam.
What is that?
Okay, so we thought we'd talk about the differences between Camp Quest and other camps we've been to. It's a pretty scientific camp, and we've learned a lot about during our activities in the day. We've learned about evolution. We did illusions. It's been a fun camp.
There's lots of unique activities. There's a bunch of science stuff. There's just a bunch of normal, cool camp stuff like rock climbing and archery.
I want to go into the talent show that we've had, and it was rather nice. And after the talent show, after multiple talents, there was a musician that played, and he played multiple songs and some gospel songs, including I'm a Humanist.
I think they were pretty funny. They weren't gospel songs in the maybe original sense of the word, but they were quite funny. Very atheistic. Cody, you want to talk about the survival game?
The survival game is basically kind of like tag, but it also teaches us kids to what it's like for the animals, because it's called predator prey. And so what it's about is you have to find certain papers, such as, and each of them has a letter or number that represents water or food. And depending on what kind of animal you are, such as consumer, herbivore, and carnivore. Depending on those means how many water or plants you have to get or meat.
So it's a survival game where you just start to see the perspective of different animals and their role in their trophic roles and what they have to maintain to survive in the wild. It's very interesting. Kyle, do you want to talk about probably a favorite topic, food?
Well, yeah, the food here is amazing. It's like the best camp food I've had in all the camps I've been to.
I'd have to agree with that.
The cafeteria setup, we have certain groups, and so we sit at a table per group. And so, yeah, Freddy?
What do you guys think about Archaeopteryx and Architeuthis?
Let's start with Architeuthis. Architeuthis is a legend of the tree octopus
that rules all. They're obviously fictional, but it was a nice by the fire stories. And Architeuthis is a giant tree octopus who is an almighty being. We have some other superstitions throughout camp, such as Archaeopteryx, which is a demon bird.
It's like invented by the Driftwood Cabin.
Yeah, that's just fun and games. One of the counselors, Dan Lombardo, was Archaeopteryx Dan, and he was a prophet who could talk directly to Archaeopteryx, and we had to challenge him to get something that would stump him and prove that Archaeopteryx did not exist.
We could either disprove or prove that he was real or not.
Which, I think, as we all suspect, was very hard to do. And nobody actually did it.
Speaking of Archaeopteryx Dan is which one of the counselors liked to go by during the campfire. He was called that during the campfire that we had through 8 through 9.
The selection game. Kyle, your thoughts?
Well, it's a game we play during meal times. Like, when we get here, we're given name tags that have an animal on it and, like, information about that animal. Like, if they're big or slow or their intelligence. And every game, they call out scenarios that, like...
It wipes out a certain group. So there might be a volcano and all the slow animals get burned alive. And basically, it goes down through all the different scenarios until there's just two people standing. And then they might say, your trophic role as the predator is the winner and the loser's the prey. Okay. What about the counselors?
The counselors were ratherly nice. There's, around the camp, there's been a few questions that have been kind of unanswerable, such as, like, who's your favorite counselor? When I don't really like to answer those questions because it's kind of rude to me, because if you said that in front of some counselors, it wouldn't seem nice. Just different types of counselors, the camp director, the staff members.
They're all great, really. We have two counselors that are assigned to our cabin. Ours are, you know, really good guys. I think the camp counselors are very knowledgeable. Some of them just seem to know everything, really. Dan knows everything, really.
Never tell him that.
Yeah. It's a new experience for me, especially as far as I'm concerned, as it being a non-religious camp. Now, I've been an atheist for a long time, but I've never been to an atheist camp, and I thought it was just a great experience. I've had to go to, like, chapel during camp before, and these are not fun experiences, but Camp Quest is a really free-thinking kind of just... really awesome system.
From the other camps that I've been to, it's really, really different compared to Camp Quest, because the camps that I've been to have been not based on religion. I understand this one's like an atheist free-thinking camp. The other ones are more like, they don't have a schedule-based camp. They're more like family camps that you can do whatever you want. I mean, I'm not saying that's a problem. In this camp, it's a way better experience because you get to meet new kids and have fun and talk to each other and get to know each other, and it's really nice.
Kyle? It's so much different than a bunch of other camps, but I think it's a lot better.
Again, to the activities that we do in the morning, they're a good part of the day, especially as far as learning, which a lot of the day is fun. I mean, basically from 12 till 10, we're all out doing what we want, having fun. But in the morning, we've done a bird walk.
Arts and crafts, illusions. We learned about the bones in our bodies.
Evolution and hominids.
Yeah, we got different modeled skulls going back millions of years, and we looked at the different common ancestors that brought us to Homo sapiens, and that was, I mean, it was
an experience.
I think the science is a really strong part of this camp that really makes it what it is.
Yeah, it's a really cool science camp, and I've learned a lot while being here for the past week or so.
What I think about this camp is it's just really different. It's a really better type of camp. I think it's been one of the best camps I've ever been to.
Basically, the schedule is we wake up in the morning, we have breakfast, which is always good. As we said, the food is great here. We have our activities such as arts and crafts, illusions, evolution, bird walk, right? Throughout the days, we've had different ones. And then we have lunchtime. We are doing skits where we get to do activities time where we can do archery, which is a really fun part of it. There's good climbing walls. We can go swimming. We can go kayaking. I haven't done kayaking, but I hear it's really good. Have either of you done kayaking?
No, I haven't. But another thing on that thing is on the schedule, you also get a certain bunk time, and that really gets you to settle down and get ready for the next thing. We are also working on skits right now to perform in front of the camp, and so we also do that at a certain time, and we practice and rehearsal and create those, and it's really nice.
Our personal skit, since all three of us are in the same cabin, is about Chuck Norris going into the future and destroying a potato-driven religion.
Funny, we know. But looks like...
Because they're mammals, and why do we have very similar bones?
Because they're furry. I'm not furry.
Everyone's
furry.
I'm Alan.
I'm Dylan.
I'm Fred.
And take it away.
So, Mom and Dad's, like, religion and atheism. I think just my mom and my mom's boyfriend are just atheists.
And you.
And me, of course.
Yeah, my nuclear family is pretty much all atheist. And my grandma is nuts, but she's also an atheist. I do have... The rest of my family is pretty much, like, hardcore Baptist Christians, but, like, an extended aunt of mine is a Wiccan, and she's really nuts. I mean... It's crazy.
Like, how nuts?
Well, she'll make fun of, like, other religions, especially Christianity, during reunions, so it's funny and yet disturbing at the same time.
I live near Redmond. My school, when we did evolution and science class, like, no one left the class due to religious reasons. I mean, my teacher didn't even say that that was an option. That was probably why, but I just think that, you know, people chose not to.
Yeah, that was the same thing with my class, but in biology at least, but in social studies we spent, like, most of the year learning about different religions.
Like what?
Like Hinduism, Buddhism, and Islam. So Eastern religions that we don't really know about. And it wasn't really like preaching, but I think they overdid it a little bit.
Yeah, in my school we did in social studies, we eventually got people who went to the west of the U.S. from the east, and one of them was just like an entire group, like an entire section of the book dedicated to the Mormons. Like a couple pages, just overall what the religion is.
Wow.
So we didn't have like large sections of the book.
We don't really have religion at my school. It's weird.
Yeah, most public schools most public schools can't.
Yeah,
I think all.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, most shouldn't. Or well, it's against the
None
law.
Of them
but
can.
Yeah,
private schools can, but
yeah.
Closest to that is like history or something.
Okay, I guess we should talk about camp now.
Yeah,
because that's where we're at.
So in camp there are gods that counselors have. This year we have Architeuthis, the great tree octopus.
They're all made up, by the way.
And we have to debate like with him and ask questions, trying to disprove him. And there is a reward if you actually can, which is a $100 bill that was made before In God We Trust was added to the money.
But there is actually no one ever gets the money because no one can really ever disprove Architeuthis. It's kind of just showing how. Like, you can't really ever disprove religion. You can just show how it's completely irrational.
And last year they had a god called Archaeopteryx, which has a way better name, and is a bird god.
Yeah, it's kind of like the minority religion here now.
It's like a cult.
Yeah.
We have Dan, who revealed himself to be the prophet of Architeuthis, and he came by the campfire with a lab coat that had, like, what was it, like?
Like cotton balls and, like, bags.
Yeah,
with tentacles.
Something like tentacles. And Chuck was appointed as the great Calamari. Sorry, Chuckanut.
Yes, they ask questions. Well, little kids ask questions.
Yeah, and I actually asked a question, is eating calamari wrong? You know, it's made from squid. And Arcatuthus Dan, as he had called himself, said no, because some cephalopods are cannibals.
Basically, this whole thing was designed to kind of show, like, that all religions can basically, whatever question you ask them, they can always make up some hacky answer. It doesn't, it might or might not answer the question, but it's pretty much always going to be a bad answer.
There are some holidays that, like, we still celebrate, but we always celebrate them in the new modern belief, like Easter is about just looking for eggs. Chocolate eggs instead of celebrating zombie Jesus. As
it's kind of funny how it's turned into like a rabbit lays eggs, which
are chocolate.
Or chocolate, and then you have to go find it, because it has nothing to do at all with like zombie Jesus. So maybe it just like hooks the kids.
And Christmas is no longer about the birth of Jesus, it's about giving generosity and Santa.
And getting presents.
Yes.
And it's kind of funny that Jesus was actually, most people think now that he's born in July.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I'm just going to add this in here. Santa Claus is now in Alaska, because the North Pole was the old thing, but Alaska is the new North Pole.
Yeah.
Do you think he has, like, his own, like, oil reserve?
Yeah, he moved.
That's how he gets all the money to make presents.
Yeah.
He now has the ability to pay his workers.
Yeah, he shares stock with Halliburton, so, yeah. He's cool. He thought it was just too cold in the North Pole, so he had to move down to Alaska, which is still really cold, but whatever. This is descending into anarchy fast.
So you said they went a little overboard. You know, while you guys were talking, you were talking about when they were teaching religions in your school. And you said they went a little bit overboard. What kind of overboard did they go?
Well, they didn't really preach or anything or say...
Or say that it was the truth.
Yeah, they didn't really say it was the truth or anything, but... I think that, like, spending most of the year, like, learning about these religions, I mean, I know it's, like, good to be tolerant, but I don't think that you need to know so much about religions that they're that important to, like, life, I guess.
So, it wasn't like you felt like they were trying to preach while not preaching? It was just one of those things where they were just overloading you with information about it?
Yeah.
Okay. And you said they don't go into religion at all at your school.
Yeah, pretty much the closest was, like, history, like what I said.
You learn about, like, ancient cultures and their history,
like ancient.
Like Greek.
Yeah.
There's a whole section on Mormons in your school, in your textbook, or?
Yeah, it was a bit on Mormonism, you know, them moving to the west of the United States, and it was like their struggles, like their leader was killed when he started supporting like, polygamy, is it?
Yeah.
Having multiple wives, yeah.
And this is a standard public school you're going to, or?
Yeah, it's just a regular public school. They didn't teach it, like the book did not write it as truth.
Yeah, that's interesting. So another thing you guys talked about is Arcatuthus Dan. So this is the first time we've had the prophet of Arcatuthus. And what is actually... So Arcatuthus is a god, but it's a certain kind of god, right?
Oh, yeah. The octopus tree god.
He's an octopus.
He extends his tentacles into all of us, and we are the living form of Arcatuthus.
That was the gross part.
That's not creepy at all or anything.
No.
What is asking a question like to Arcatuthus Dan? What's the process behind that?
I don't know. Mostly little kids ask the questions.
You think of a question to challenge his belief. Like someone said, could he make like a rock so heavy that he himself cannot lift it? And that person was recognized at either, was it lunch or breakfast, for being the closest to disprove Arcatuthus.
Yeah, she got a piece of plastic. I didn't really ask any questions because the camp director's son is in our cabin and he told me that we aren't going to get money, so there's no point.
Oh, that's a cheat. So you guys enjoying camp so far?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
camp
fun.
Is pretty fun.
Is this your first year for camp?
Yes.
Yeah, I think all of us.
Is this your first camp quest or your first camp? Or
the first camp quest.
I think this is my third camp. Okay. Not camp quest, but like
It's interesting because I've been to like YMCA, which is a pseudo-religious camp. It's not really that religious.
Anymore.
Well, yeah, they took a lot out of it. But I've also been here, so yeah.
Oh, yeah, I went to this YMCA camp. It was called, like, Camp Seymour. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And is it much as he described it, or...?
Yeah, it's pretty much as he described it. Not, like, too religious. Like, one of our activities was to go to, a chapel or something.
Okay.
I didn't have anything like that. What we did is, like, the last song at every campfire was about God or whatever. And then we had graces. But in this camp, we... I think some of the counselors like defiled the graces on the wall.
Yeah, I saw that.
Changing like one of like the god posters to saying everyone will be assimilated, resistance is futile.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember that.
It is
the Borg is good to me.
Yeah, it is being done with masking tape. If you have to. should add to that. And then, so did you say this was your first camp of any kind, or?
Yeah, it's my first camp of any kind.
Overnight a bit.
Yeah, overnight.
Okay, but having a good time so far?
Yeah, and my younger brother, he went to a camp that we didn't know was a Christian camp until he went there. It wasn't an overnight one. Yeah. And, like, in the morning, they would tell, like, a Bible story, and, like...
Was it Sambica? That's one.
I don't know, like, he learned about, I think it was, like, Jesus or something. I don't remember, like, what from the Bible he was taught about.
Talking
snakes. Didn't pay attention to it.
All right, well, thank you guys very much. This is a good discussion.
Yeah, that was pretty nice.
All right, thanks.
All right.
I was thinking, what if, let's say, this murderer and this thief were the same person? Like, the world's biggest diamond just happened to belong to Freddy's brother. So...
Here at Camp Quest Northwest, no kid is bored. We have activities, great cooks, and respectable counselors. Located on Samish Point Road, Camp Quest has a beach, archery, rock walls, and more. Every night at the campfire, we discuss the day, we sing, and one more special surprise. At Camp Quest, no kind of religion is encouraged. We all have fun just for the fun of it. Hope to see you soon.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
Hi, I'm Amy.
Hi, I'm Allison.
Hi, I'm Lilith. You could call me Lily.
So camp is really awesome. Like, this is my first time and everyone's been superb and nice and no one's been mean to me at all.
Yeah, like, everyone's super nice and all the activities are really fun. Like, yesterday we played Predator versus Prey, which is really fun. You can be, like, a herbivore, an omnivore, or carnivore, and, like, everyone's trying to eat each other, and it's really fun. Not literally. It'd be kind of creepy.
That would be, yes. But, like, this is my first time, too, and just all the people that I've met, like, my two friends here, and just everybody's just really nice and sweet.
Yeah, like, there's cool people. Like, these are just my two closest friends, and then there's, like, everyone else, like Fiona and Cambria and Aki and Thea. They're all cool, which are in her cabin, which is Little Dipper, by the way, which is the coolest cabin.
So this is your first camp? Is this your first camp at all?
Yes. Yeah, this is my first overnight camp.
Yeah. This isn't my first overnight camp, but it's one of the best.
So far, it's really awesome. Like, I'm probably going to come here next year.
Definitely, yes. This is my first time going to a summer camp, and I think I just picked the best.
What makes Little Dipper the best cabin?
I think it's a really good age group, and I don't know, this year I think it's the best cabin because everyone is nice and everyone works together and there's no one that ever really gets left out. And also it's a really good cabin because it has screens on the window, so when you can open the window and there's a fan and a door.
Oh, you guys get a fan?
Yeah, mm-hmm. We get a fan.
Wow, you have the deluxe cabin.
Yeah, and we have like 5 bunk beds, so there's like enough for 10 people to sleep in that cabin.
Yeah, it's like, but what's really cool is that like one side there's forest and all these trees and, you know, nature, and then on the other side there's ocean.
Yeah,
we have an ocean view.
Yeah, they said that we have the best view.
You can stare at the moon and the water at night, and it's really pretty.
Last night I went to bed really late just staring at the moon. I couldn't help it. It was gorgeous.
What is your favorite activity so far?
Probably looking for crabs on the beach, because that was really fun.
So you're going crabbing?
Well, we just looked at all the little worms and stuff, where there was like a blood worm, which is like a drop me worm, and if you hold it in your hand, it'll like shoot out, and then it surprises people and makes them drop it.
My favorite activity is overall the climbing, because that's just really fun, and then also going in the morning for morning runs, like right when the sun has already set, so it's like all beautiful, and you like hop over not stumps but roots and rocks, and it's just really fun and energizing, and like for some reason reason you don't get tired as if when you're running on a track, you get like more energy since you're up early and all your energy has just come to you. So
I absolutely have no idea because I love the archery, love the kayaking, the swimming, and all the other things they have us do. It's just
awesome. I tried archery for the first time last year, and if you look at my arm, you can kind of tell.
Ooh, ow. Yeah, they said I have to have two guards on my arm.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
That happened to Tara. She has a giant bruise just on her arm.
Like that big. And it was
bright purple.
Yeah, and it changes colors.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Oh, and Tara's our counselor.
Your counselor, yeah. Okay, so it's the counselors that are getting the welts, just like it was last year. That's fine.
The same thing happened to Kayla, which is Big Dipper's counselor, but she didn't get as big of a bruise.
So there's also, are you guys, so you're in the same cabin, but this year there's also like pods, right?
I'm in the flask pod, and then you have a little selection game animal that is at the bottom, and it says Little Dipper, and then it has this like little icon, and that's what you are in. So I am a flask,
and I'm an Adam.
I'm a Phi. I don't know what that means, but it sounds cool.
I think it's a Greek letter.
Yes, it is. And we have to play this selection game animal where each one of us has an animal and everything's different. And then people win it, and there's like size, speed, intelligence, heat loss, habitat, and tropic roll.
So what animal are you?
I'm a spider monkey.
And what are your traits?
I am small, fast, smart, insulated, land-dwelling, and a predator.
I'm a furry lobster.
Mm-hmm.
I'm small, slow, dumb, insulated, water-dwelling, and a predator. So I'm not really that scary.
I'm a vulture. I'm big, fast, really dumb, insulated, land-dwelling, and predator, which I don't get because vultures are not predators. They are scavengers.
They're scavengers, and they're also not dumb. They're actually fairly intelligent birds.
Yeah.
Weird.
Well, just like,
I smell a conspiracy.
Well, I know, it drives me crazy.
Just like there's a Michael Phelps. Someone is a Michael Phelps, and there's also a Santa Claus. And the girl that's Michael Phelps doesn't even know who Michael Phelps is.
Oh, that's a shame.
And my brother's Bugs Bunny.
Your brother's Bugs Bunny. So you have a brother here at camp.
Yes.
How is that to have a sibling who's also at camp?
Well, it's fun, but I'm really protective of him.
Oh, so he's younger.
No, he's older, but I'm still protective. I'm like really protective of my dogs and my cat. And yeah.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much. I'm going to save this off.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Of what you think are the most ancient and the most recent, and then I'll tell you a little bit about the skulls, and
you can
do it again after you know what to look for.
The most ape-like.
This one looks the most good.
So what makes you say that? Why does it look?
What is Archaeopteryx?
Archaeopteryx is the supreme bird god at Camp Quest. It's the minority religion, but it is not a minor thing at all.
To explain a little bit deeper than what he said, Archaeopteryx is like the supreme god. And he flies around and makes people. One of the things he does, he makes other religions become his devil.
Okay, you're going to have to back that up. Other religions become his devil?
So he makes Archituthis his devil. So Archituthis is the devil.
Oh, so in your mythology, then, Archituthis is the great evil of the world. But is the inverse true among followers of Archituthis?
Yes, that is very true. They like to yell blasphemy at us, but we don't like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of rude.
Do you have a concept of blasphemy?
Believing in Archituthis?
Is it so it's blasphemous. Is there anything you do when you discover a blasphemer?
We try to tell them about our Lord and Savior. We knock on their door quite a bit.
Okay. So do you have notes or anything like that?
No, not really. The notes are in our head and streamed to us by Archaeopteryx.
Yep.
Okay. Okay, Archaeopteryx. Can you describe Archaeopteryx for me? Is this just another formless deity, or does this deity have a specific visage that he visits upon people?
Archaeopteryx is basically a half-human, half-bird, half-whatever you can think of. Archaeopteryx has the head of a human and the body of a bird.
Okay. Any specific bird?
We don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
What are the major tenets of followers of Archaeopteryx?
There's don't worship Archituthis, about six more times, and then free pizza Saturday. Saturdays.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, do Free Pizza Saturdays have any sort of form or function, or is there sort of a Free Pizza Saturday liturgy that needs to be followed?
No, you just go into a pizza place and say Archaeopteryx, and then they give you free pizza, and then you walk out.
Okay, so there's the code word, and then you get the pizza then.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's universal. You should try it sometime.
Now, I understand that the orthodoxy here at Camp Quest Northwest is, in fact, Archaeopteryx. Is that insulting for me to say, or can we just admit that?
That is very insulting.
Okay.
We do not like that.
But it seems like the population, the vast majority of the people here,
yes,
seem to be... Okay. It also seems like Archaeopteryx has sort of authority backing here.
As if the counselors want to worship their fake deity, Archaeopteryx, well, we have our Archaeopteryx to counter them.
When you have an authority investing belief in a religion, and you have... I think it's fair to say that that would be the local orthodoxy. And in your case, does your religion outdate theirs? Does their religion outdate yours? What's the timing here?
Their religion, I think, outdates ours. And yeah, that's why counselors believe in it, because they're older. Just because...
Yeah. So their minds have become...
They have worn...
Is there any belief in Archaeopteryx that you find particularly abhorrent, other than just the fact that people believe in Archaeopteryx?
I mean, how is it possible that an animal could have more than two arms? I mean, really, that's totally not thought of. I mean, Archaeopteryx wouldn't have done that to us.
What's your evidence for... I've seen creatures with more, like starfish.
Well, that's the devil making you think.
That's the devil Archaeopteryx.
Yes, he's making you think.
So that's the devil Archaeopteryx making me think that creatures with more than two limbs exist.
Oh, yes.
So that is factually untrue then?
Yes.
Do you have any evidence to support this?
Have you ever actually seen an animal with only has two arms and two legs? Have you actually ever seen one?
I did mention a starfish, yeah.
Have you felt it?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Have you ever spent time with it in a godly manner?
No.
Your argument is invalid.
Wow. Okay. That's I'm gonna have to think about that one.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to Archaeopteryx anti-apologetics. Man, where's Bob when I need him?
Yeah. Also, another thing that's kind of weird about Archaeopteryx, he like puts his tentacles into people. And
yeah.
That's kind of creepy.
Yeah. Have you been touched by his technically?
No, that sounds frankly creepy. I'll just put that out there. Well, thank you guys very much for your chat about Archaeopteryx and Archaeopteryx. Thank you for showing us the truth and the light of your bird deity. Thank you guys very much.
Caw-caw.
Caw-caw.
Mason, here at Camp Quest Northwest, with Dan, a camp counselor. What do you do outside of Camp Quest Northwest?
Outside of Camp Quest Northwest, I'm primarily a student. I study biology and marine biology at the University of Washington, Bothell, and Friday Harbor Research Labs.
How did you get to join and become a counselor of Camp Quest Northwest?
I met the staff of Camp Quest through Sam, who is actually a mutual friend, I started going to the post shows for Ask an Atheist, and we got to talking, and I had a suggestion for a segment. Sam said, why don't you do this segment? And it's called Moment of Science. And so if my voice sounds familiar to some of our listeners, that's because I do Moment of Science on Ask an Atheist. And I heard about Camp Quest through this crowd and decided it would be a great way to affect some change in the community.
Are you planning to be at camp next year?
I really hope I can. I do have some studies to take care of in the summer. I'll be pursuing my doctorate. So unfortunately, those things sort of have to come first, you know, career and academics. But if there's any way I can make it work, I absolutely will be here next year.
Now that we're done with introducing each other, let's get to the main point of this interview. Archaeopteryx.
Archaeopteryx.
Who is Archaeopteryx?
Who is Archaeopteryx? Archaeopteryx is a magical, invisible Pacific Northwestern tree octopus that lives in the trees of the camp here, lives in the forest, and according to the expanded lore, lives in everywhere, in everyone and everything.
Why did you or whoever did come up with that? Why is there a magical creature at a free-thinking camp?
That's a great question. To answer the first part, the folks who came up with it were the staff of last year's Camp Quest Northwest. They came up with it in a planning session. And every Camp Quest has their own sort of mythical creature. And the idea is that we can sort of present this mythical creature in a safe atmosphere where we can say, here's our story, and we're going to tell you all this stuff about the mythical creature, and you try to disprove its existence. And the sort of the overarching point of it is that you can't really disprove a negative. You can't disprove something that's invisible any more than you can prove it. If there's no evidence for it, then there's no evidence against it either. But what we hope that campers will take away from it is that there are other times in their lives that people are going to tell them to believe things that don't have any evidence. And it's sort of a preparation for critical thinking.
What would you do if one of the campers actually started to believe in Arkituthis?
This has happened a couple of times, we've had to do what we call a deprogramming, where we sit down with the camper and explain to them the reason that we tell the Arkituthis story, and that, you know, none of it is real, and the purpose behind it. But if somebody actually continued to believe it after that, personally, I would be devastated. That would be like my worst nightmare.
So, you were Arkituthis Dan, the prophet of Arkituthis.
I was, yeah.
And you answered all of the campers' questions about how to disprove.
Mm-hmm.
Did you enjoy answering those questions?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One of my little hobbies when I'm not here, I like to get into sort of logical arguments on the internet, just sort of for fun. And my favorite part about being the prophet of Arkituthis is I got to throw out all the same sorts of ridiculous arguments that I hear from people that I argue with on the internet, the inherent logical fallacies and just sort of the silliness of ideas and the irrational or irrefutable arguments that only make sense if you already have a strong faith in whatever it is you're trying to explain. But it was a lot of fun getting to dress up and speak in the Arkituthis prophet voice and answer these same sorts of questions and see that the kids thought that these questions were just as ridiculous as a lot of us think they are when we encounter them in other realms.
Well, finally, how did Arkituthis get his name in the first place?
So that's an interesting one. Arkituthis, the name, is actually the name of a genus of squid, the giant squid. It's called Arkituthis dux, the genus and species name. And for a long time, people thought that the actual giant squid, the real Arkituthis dux, was a mythical creature. But in fact, there were bodies that washed up, and not long ago, they actually got film of a live one in the deep sea. So the name Arkituthis already carried sort of this fun sort of mythology. But I think Becky said it best. Her explanation was my favorite, that they call it Arkituthis because that's the closest translation for the name in the language of the magical Arkituthis, which it means in Latin, sort of like the archetype cephalopod, the first cephalopod, or, you know, the greatest cephalopod. So we decided that since Arkituthis is this, the magical Arkituthis, I should say, is this mythical, powerful being, that it should have a bold name.
Well, it's been fun talking with you, Dan, or should I say Arkituthis Dan. Thank you all for listening. Goodbye.
Thanks, Mason. It's been great. Bye-bye.
I understand you like biology, Sky. When did you first get into biology?
Well, it's water biology. And there was a show about dolphins on, and, well, dolphin training. And ever since then, I've really liked it.
That's really nice. What do you like about the ocean?
Well, it's home to creatures, and you can swim in it. And it's really fun to learn about it.
Yeah.
And all the things that are in it. Covers up most of the Earth.
At Camp Quest, what was one of your favorite animals that you found on the beach?
I would have to say the lion's mane jellyfish. It's one of the largest jellyfish in the area.
That's cool. Did you see any animals you would eat?
I saw a crab once. It was a girl.
Yeah?
Yeah. My friend Eagle found it.
Cool. How many water animals have you seen?
About 18 to 20 on, estimate.
Nice. How many times do you think you went to the ocean?
Well, I went kayaking most of the time, and one time I went swimming, so...
What else do you do in the water at Camp Quest?
Well, I swim, I look for animals, I kayak, all those thingies.
Alright, why do you like marine biology?
I like water and I like animals, and they go together to make marine biology.
Alright.
Thanks for the eye patch. Yo ho.
Thanks for the eye patch. Yo ho.
Are your kids non-religious, bored out of their mind, and want to get out of the house? If you said yes to these questions, then bring your child to Camp Quest Northwest, where they will be served 3 meals a day. There will be many choices of activities like archery, swimming, climbing, and more. Camp Quest is located on Samish Island in Western Washington. For further details, visit campquestnorthwest.org.
Out of the briny depths of the internet comes a comic book podcast so powerful they cannot be contained by a single continent. Mike and Paul save the universe.
I'm Mike Gillis.
And I'm Paul Rudd.
If you're an unsatisfied comics fan, we want to help you find better comics. And if you've never picked up a comic before in your life, we want to help you find what could be your new favorite thing. On Mike and Paul Save the Universe, we love the bejesus out of comics, and so should you. Find us online at mikeandpaul.com.
Looking to buy or sell a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, or surrounding areas? Demand a professional and call Don Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 or visit dndrealty.ca and discover how he works with you to achieve your goals, save you time, and protect your investment. Don Summers of Professional Realty Group. It's time you hired a professional.
You guys asked a question that I think has some stories behind it that I really want to get your opinion on. I bet you guys are kind of annoyed by Arcatuthis.
Just a little.
Tiny bit.
A lot. A lot, technically.
No, you can totally hang on. We're off the clock. Between you, me, and the wall? Yeah. I get kind of tired of it.
Yeah.
I mean, do you see the sort of the instructive purpose of it? I would assume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what do you think that is in this case?
Well, technically, there was a question that I had, which was, if your Arcatuthis was almighty and so powerful and great, would he or wouldn't he actually, like, solve, like, world hunger or diseases like that?
Mm-hmm.
If Arcatuthis, or even God in that case, or any deities were real, I would never obey them, but I would know that they are real.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, I kind of want to go down the line and vent and sort of get all your takes on this. I think you guys get why they do Arcatuthis, and I'll be honest with you, there's been a lot of Arcatuthis in the recordings I've been doing, and it's all been popular, and I would like to have another opinion. So, if I can just start here and go all the way down the line, can you tell me why you're annoyed by Arcatuthis?
Well, technically, I'm annoyed by it. I'm not technically annoyed by it. They're kind of just saying that you can just make up your own god. In a way, they're kind of making fun of deities, but to me, that's perfectly okay. I have actually a friend who is religious here with me, and she doesn't really like that they do that, and I preferably don't care at all.
How about you?
Yeah, what Kelly said, but also when somebody asks a question, like, they just randomly answer it.
I know.
One of the questions was, can Arcatuthis make a rock so heavy that you can't even lift it?
Or Arcatuthis.
Yeah. And then, the answer that they gave didn't even make sense.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Like, yeah, that's one of the things that annoyed me. Like, they didn't really completely answer it at all.
Yeah.
How about you?
Jesse said it's basically the same thing I was going to say.
Okay.
So.
What would you prefer they do instead of Arcatuthis and all that stuff?
I don't know.
Would you prefer that they just drop it?
Sometimes.
If you guys don't mind, I'm not going to play this for anybody, but I'd like to include it in the episode.
Okay,
is that
fine.
All right?
Yeah, that's all perfect.
All right, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm having a conversation with Naomi and Cambria, and you guys wanted to talk, among other things, about the food at Camp Quest Northwest.
Because the food is good.
The food's good?
It's delicious. Yeah.
So what kind of stuff have you guys been eating?
Well, we're both vegetarian, so...
Well, usually we eat, like, not really, like, the same food, but, like, we eat different. Like, for lunch, we ate corn dogs and macaroni and cheese, and then we had, like, cantaloupe. They had, like, lots of stuff there that you could choose from. Right
before we eat lunch, then Chuck does some notifications.
They're called announcements.
But then everybody sings this announcement song, so...
So for lunch today, it was macaroni and cheese and corn dogs. I would note that one contains, well, if we're lucky, beef, and the other contains cheese. Are you guys okay with cheese?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just vegetarian, not vegan. I just, the only thing that I won't drink that vegetarians aren't required to, like, not eat or drink, I don't like milk. I drink almond milk.
Yeah, almond milk is good.
Only they don't have that here, so that sucks.
Yeah, Becky's actually very partial to almond milk. Okay, but instead of corn dogs, did you guys just not have the corn dogs and have more mac and cheese? Or?
Yeah, I just had macaroni and cheese and put some ketchup and pepper on it.
Well, sometimes if the vegetarians want some meat substance thing, like protein other than dairy products, then we go up to a special window that only serves vegetarian stuff.
And vegan, too.
It's made just like, if not exactly as the meal that omnivores are... that omnivores are eating. I make it sound like we're dinosaurs. So today, rather than corn dogs, then I went up to the special vegetarian window to get a vegetarian sort of meat,
yeah, like
sausage thing.
One night we had pizza and it had meat on it. So what we did is we went up to the vegetarian window and they had like this like fruit and like vegetable like topped pizza.
It was just a regular veggie pizza, and they also had cheese pizza, but that was like
the only pizza.
Well, I mean, that's what I do at school, but I like how on the vegetarian food, then they put all the veggies that they usually serve raw for the meat eaters inside the vegetarian food. So, like, if they serve broccoli with the pizza, then they put the broccoli on the pizza.
And they have, like, olives and peppers, and it's so good.
Yeah.
If you need something other than what's at the table, they just go up and they have something ready for you.
Yeah. And they also do vegan, lactose-free, and gluten-free.
Okay. I guess the question is, vegetarians, they're not uncommon in the Pacific Northwest. Let me get that right. Okay. There's a bunch of them.
Yeah, I have another friend named Naomi who's vegetarian, and people like to confuse us for twins. So. Oh, wow.
Well, let's start with the other campers. How have the other campers, have they been okay with your dietary choices so far?
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, but every time I try getting in a discussion about that with them, then they're, most of them are just like, dude, I could not live without bacon. Don't even make me think of it.
Everyone asks me, why are you vegetarian? I'm like, I'm just against animal cruelty. It's like, just that. I mean, like, there's nothing else, but...
That comes to a very central question is, you know, why you guys have chosen to be vegetarians. I'll start with you. You're saying it's a moral choice. What led you to that choice?
When I got my first dog, like my first two dogs, I like never hurt a hair on them, and I've always wanted to be a veterinarian. About a year ago, I was living in another house, and I found a baby bird, and I took care of it, and we named him Barney because we found him in the barn, but we took care of him, and then I got like really worried. Like, it was the first day of school, it was Monday, because we found him on the weekend, and I just had like a bad feeling. I kept on hearing his chirps, and I was just like, okay, something's wrong. And then I got a text from my mom and said that he died because no one could feed him and everyone was at work.
Oh.
So, yeah. And then I've been trying to, in Oregon, you have to be 12 years or older to volunteer at an animal hospital.
I know, that sucks.
I know, and I came there at 11 and I'm like, can I volunteer? I mean, we did like the whole neighborhood and all like the towns that were nearby, and none of them would accept it.
Oh my God, I have stories so much like that. Okay, vegetarian for me was a moral choice. I had a baby bird that I found on my property. We kept him for a few days, then he escaped, and we found him sitting on a stump, and then his mom flew by. I mean, it was the same type of bird, and it was a female, so I'm assuming that it was someone that would take care of him, flew by and picked him up, so I was sort of happy about that. I have always wanted to be a veterinarian, too. It's like, veterinarian and actress are my dream choices.
Clearly wouldn't figure you for theater with all this acting. So you both want to be veterinarians, and you both went to animal hospitals and were turned down because you were too young?
I spent literally days Googling and calling and in the phone book and everything that I could possibly think of to get to some sort of animal hospital or something like that that would take me in, either train me or just let me volunteer there. Like, all I need to do is be around the animals. I don't care whether I'm picking up poop. I'm good.
Yeah.
And they're all like, well, you need to be 12, 13, or 18 is the ones that I found. And it really sucks because, I mean, I'm 11, so.
Well, 12 isn't that far away.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, it seems like a million years when it's,
yes, it is.
When you're being prevented from doing something you really want to do, but.
It's like riding a roller coaster ride. When you're too short, you're like, I wish I could grow so I can go on that roller coaster ride. It looks so fun.
When I figured out that there wasn't any hospitals near us that would let me volunteer there, then I got a pet hamster instead so that I would take care of something other than dogs, and it died 9 days later.
Oh, ouch.
My hamster wouldn't eat or drink. I think it like died of dehydration because, I mean, I even showed it. I'd pick it up and then squeeze the water bottle into its mouth, and it sometimes I think that it might have swallowed on a drop, but then it would totally give me this look like, oh, why did you do that to me? And then sometimes I would give it a bath, so maybe while it was in there, then it would like drink something, but no, it just pooped. So, and then
yeah, that's always kinda gross.
Going that for two nights in a row, then in the morning, then it died in my hand.
Oh, okay, dying in your hand, that's sad.
Yeah,
that's sad,
but I was like with it to the end, so it's not that sad.
Do you have you kept pets to tide over until you're old enough to work at the hospital?
I have two dogs and a cat. We actually took my cat to the hospital because she got like clawed. Because we let her out, and she got a claw underneath her eyelid, so she almost got blind. Like, she was, like, this close, but...
Oh, my God.
I actually have a guinea pig, because my grandma's boyfriend has, like, had a guinea pig, and he wasn't taking good care of it. So he's like, just give this to Naomi, and she's like, okay. Her name's Roxy, and it's really funny. She can't get her neck over the bowl, so what she'll do is she'll grab the end, she'll flip it over, so it's, like, leaning over, and then she'll just eat the food. So as soon as we give her food, she just, like, tips it over.
My hamster, the bowl was too big for it, so it climbed in the bowl, and it was a robo dwarf, and it was only like a month old, so it was just so tiny, cute.
So you guys are going to be turning 12 in the next year, I assume. So next year, you guys will probably have worked at an animal hospital, and you'll be able to trade war stories, basically. Sound about right?
Yeah.
I look forward to hearing them. I will be here next year with these, and I would very much like to hear your stories of the real stories of the animal hospital.
Oh, and one more goal that I have is to stay here until I become a counselor, and then Chuck will become too old to maintain his position, so I will apply for it and I will get it.
So
you
hear
that, Chuck? I will get it.
Maybe me too.
No, I will apply before all of you.
You better watch out, Chuck.
Yeah.
Revolution!
You hear that, Bagel? Wills are no longer in style.
This episode was recorded at Camp Quest Northwest on Samish Island in August of 2013. My production assistants were Mike Warbington, Paul Mops, Sharon Zolnowski, Becky Friedman, and Nick Kennedy. In this episode are Brendan, Kane, John, Freddie, Kyle, Cody, Alan, Dylan, Fred, Allison, Amy, Lily, Bailey, Mason, Dan Lombardo, Sky, Rihanna, Jessica, Carrie, Kelly, Naomi, and Cambria. The commercials were written and performed by Keelan and Sarah. For more from Sarah, Mike, Dylan, and others, listen to our upcoming podcast Extra, which will be released on Wednesday. See you guys next week.